We're back in Squawk 1200. I'm Afterburner Al, along with Just Paul. 1246, 75 degrees. Still slightly breezy on day one of AirVenture. Now in the studio with us is Dave Tesmer, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Tesmer, who is also the Executive Director of the International Federal Partnership, along with Media Lump, Larry Helmrick.
Media Toad, Larry Helmrick.
Well, that's Dick Nepinski of EAA. He calls himself the PR Lump.
Yep.
And so I thought I'd just extend that out to everybody. I figured you wouldn't mind that.
That was probably one of the best things I've been called lately.
All right. Each minute you're improving.
Yep.
So, Dave, you are the Executive Director of the International Federal Partnership, which
yes.
I will just give a brief overview, and you can correct me.
Sure.
It is the collection of the federal agencies that have an aviation component here at AirVenture.
Either correct. And just to add to that, not only an aviation component, but also something that deals with general aviation. Maybe they provide services, or there's some sort of information or message we want to get out to the general aviation public.
Excellent. Excellent. And one of the things that I think we'll just dive right into this, because Paul, I know, caught his eye about something you brought.
So I know you're here every year, and it's always interesting to see what you bring. But this year I noticed a rather impressive boat with four 300-horse Mercury engines on
Indeed.
The back end of it. What's it for?
Yeah,
what
awesome.
What
yeah.
are the missions?
Yeah, everything. Every year we try to do something a little different. Yes, we now we have some really nice eye candy out there. A 42-foot boat that our friends from Customs and Border Protection Air and Marine Division brought. So obviously the Marine part is in full force with this boat. What they use it for, it's two-pronged, if you will. One is that the air part's pretty easy. They have a Dash 8 out on the Boeing Plaza. They have a Cessna Citation out in front of the building as well. And the air component would actually find the target, find a drug runner, for example. And they would relay that information down to a boat like we have out in front of the building there. And the folks in the boat, we have a couple of the Marine agents there to kind of talk about their mission. But then the boat would actually run the intercept and actually intercept the target, the suspect, and actually make an arrest potentially or do an investigation, whatever the case may be.
And is this the only one in your complement, or are there more?
This boat is kind of unique in that it is a one-off, if you will. It's kind of a testbed demonstrator. And so the idea was to test some of the, well, not quite avionics, I guess, but marine onics, I guess, radar, radio, data links, that type of thing, and connectivity between the air and the ground and the sea, as well as propulsion, the four motors that you see mounted there. But also very important, the crew comfort, if you will, just, you know, the seats and how headsets would work and that type of thing. So
sure.
It's from bow to stern, you know, side to side, you know, port to starboard, everything that the crews might need on the boats in the various environments that the boats operate in, because they operate, again, throughout the U.S.
Very nice.
We're very glad that the boat is here this year. We could have used it a couple of years ago when we had Sloshkosh.
Indeed.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Racing up and down the aircraft aisles, that would be kind of interesting. What other kind of fun things that would make the tour through the pavilion interesting?
Yeah, something for all ages, really. I mean, we have the Park Services back again, and they have done a great job once again. They brought in the 1920s vintage Fairchild, one of the first aircraft that the Park Service owned. That's actually inside the building because it is a historic aircraft. And the way we got it in, you'll see, the guests will see, is the wings fold. And so we have one of the wings folded and one is extended to give the full effect. But it is an actual park, national park, on the grounds this year. So you can get the park stamp like you would at Yosemite or any other national park. So that's kind of neat. Something new that they've started in the last couple of years. They also have the Wright Flyer Simulator. So again, kids of all ages can try their hand at that. It's much more difficult than it looks. So it's nice. We encourage people to get out and, you know, try that. We also have National Transportation Safety Board there, talking about some of the unfortunate part of aviation, talking about some of the crashes and things that they have found. And related to that, we have birdstrait.org is there as well. Birds, unfortunately, share the skies with folks, and sometimes we have those unfortunate instances where they collide, and they have some great displays and some great information to give out there.
Paul, did you know the birds had a website? The bird strikers had a website?
I think technology is wonderful.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm curious for the Fairchild. I mean, it's a beautiful aircraft, but who takes care of it? Who maintains it?
It's actually part of a private collection, and
okay.
It comes from Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and is on loan to the Park Service during AirVenture. So otherwise, it's kind of in a private collection. So it's a great opportunity to see something that you normally wouldn't really be able to
sure.
see. So it's, again, a rare opportunity, a rare airplane. Within the building as well, then, just about every agency throughout the day and throughout the week, we have our own forum stage there. And so each agency will be presenting forums on their particular message and what they have to offer to the general aviation folks, whether it's the NORAD folks talking about how to get in and out of the country, if you will. Air and Marine, again, I mentioned. Weather services within the building talking about aviation weather, as well as the Park Service giving some interpretive type things. So it's really a lot of information, and they're part of the educational outreach that the government does.
If you're curious what's going on with these voices, this is Squawk 1200 EAA Radio. We're in the studio with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Tesmer, who's also the Executive Director of the International Federal Partnership here at Air Venture 2014. Also floating around in the background is Larry Helmrich, a longtime media coordinator for the International Federal Partnership. One of the things, it's kind of interesting that the aviation and its role with federal agencies and how well, you know, the government has integrated that aspect into a lot of its operations.
Yeah, we view it, again, speaking as for the partnership, as a true partnership and a true collaborative effort, you know, with the general aviation community, is that we do all share the skies together. And I think a great example of that is the See and Avoid folks. It's a Air National Guard program. We're all familiar, of course, with MOAs, you know, military operations areas and the ATCAs above and that type of thing. But, you know, those areas we have to share together. And it's airspace is a precious commodity. And for those folks, you know, traveling cross-country to get to, you know, Air Venture, for example, they're probably flying through or near, at least, some of the MOAs. And the See and Avoid website is a great place where aviation enthusiasts can go and see what's hot and what's not, as we like to say, to see those areas that are active and those that are not. And that's an organization that really, I think, would pay for those general aviators to go and see.
One of the things that my illustrious executive director has forgotten to mention, but I want to remind him, is we also have three organizations from the island of the Bahamas here this year. And they've been here for a number of years, and they bring the Bahamas police, the Bahamas civilian aviation, and also their tourism branch. So they're a big part of it. And
they've been coming 17, 18 years, yeah, as long as the time. Radio has been around,
and
I can tell you that much.
If anybody knows anybody in Canada, we'd like for them to rejoin the International Federal Partnership again. So
Did it go away with Arlo Spear when he went away? Because he was like a rock.
Arlo was here forever, and he was the many jokes were headed the Canadian way, but I don't know if we drove him out of the United States, but we want him back. And I know Arlo's gone on to bigger and better things, but we hope that Canada will join us again. We had a interesting year last year with sequestration. I can't
say. We all had an interesting year.
So it was, we're almost back to 100%. We've got a couple more organizations that will rejoin us next year. And we're almost filling the building again, which is what we want to do. And just to prove that we have no bad feelings, we have a couple MiGs around the building now.
Of course.
MiG 15 and MiG 21. So we're trying to embrace the whole world now.
And Larry, the three groups in the Bahamas, are they in the Federal Pavilion building?
Yeah, two of them are. Okay. The tourism office is on another at a tent in another part of the grounds, but the police and civil aviation are at the building. They can talk about, you know, what it takes to fly to the Bahamas and back, and if whatever, there's some minor, you know, monetary amount that has to be given, I think, when you land in the Bahamas. But they want to be sure that they're, you know, aviators are welcome in the Bahamas. And they're quite a good agency or agencies to have with us, and they'll be here later in the week to talk about it.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can remember from they're just so happy. It's just come visit us. They come on in and say, you know, it's as long as you can get past flying over the water, which is really not that. And the Bahamas is, I think it's only about, was it 90 miles or 45?
It's about an inch on the map.
Yeah, it's closer than you think. You know, yeah,
absolutely. And the plane doesn't know it's over water.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
That's right. One thing I like to bring up is that light sport fly into the Bahamas held about 3-4 years ago. I do remember that part, and that was a masterstroke of an idea, I thought, to just kind of really showcase the fact, hey, it's reachable by a lot of people.
Absolutely. It's a very close, as you mentioned, very aviation friendly, and a lot of airports, you know, there for your support. So yeah, highly encourage you to get out and talk to those, you know, the Bahamian folks.
Mm. Well, why don't you take, I'm sorry, did you have
Just for Dave, what will the rest of your week be like?
Well, unfortunately for me, we mentioned sequestration. Again, I am the executive director. However, I also have a real job, and so I have to get back to that. But I will be back a few days, select days. I'm going to try to get through, and I'll be back next weekend for sure.
Very good.
Why don't you tick off some of the agencies that we wouldn't have thought about that are here that maybe were like, I never thought about that.
Yeah, sure. We can just, National Park Service, certainly, National Weather Service, the Air National Guard with See and Avoid, NORAD we mentioned, Bird Strait Organization, the Islands of the Bahamas were mentioned, a couple different agencies from there. Customs, Border Protection, Air and Marine. Unique thing about them is you might see around the grounds pipe and drum corps here. So they'll be out with their bagpipes around the grounds. And, of course, National Transportation Safety Board kind of rounds it all out.
And we want to talk about Make-A-Wish. We partner with EAA. I think this is the 18th or 19th year that EAA and the International Federal Partnership on Saturday will host Make-A-Wish children and their families. This year we have 2 3-year-olds, a 5-year-old, and an 11-year-old. And we're honored to host them, and we want to have a great experience, and I'm sure they will with the Thunderbirds coming this year and everything else. So I'm sure we'll send them home with a lot of favorable memories.
I'm sure.
Well, that's one other thing I think International Federal Partnership probably has on par with some of the other areas to display. Let's talk swag. What kind of swag have you seen over there so far that might be available? Because that always brings the people.
I got to tell you, again, Park Service has some great things, little badges for the kids and whatnot. But I think if you walk into the building, depending on where you go, the eye catcher, and I might be prejudiced being an Air National Guardsman, but the Don't Fly Naked bumper sticker is probably the premier thing to get. So
Bag, too. If the button's not big enough for you, talking about naked, you got this big swag bag. So.
And then be sure you ask the folks, hey, what does that mean, Don't Fly Naked? Because it does have a meaning. It's not just a catchy phrase.
That's a really great campaign. The one other thing that I noticed you had showed us was the magnet from NORAD.
Yeah. As many people know, here we are July, but Christmas in July, NORAD might be known come Christmas time for tracking Santa Claus across the globe. So good story there, and be sure to talk to those folks about that. So that's a big tradition for theirs, and they really enjoy doing that.
Dave Tesmer, thanks very much.
Pleasure.
Larry, always a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, glad to be here.
And Paul, thanks. How did your first hour go?
I thought it was great. I enjoyed it a lot.
All right,
will you come back
tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Right. You've been listening to Squawk 1200 for Just Paul. I'm Afterburner Al. This is EAA Radio.